We bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. Let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah, I'm 23 years old, I think today. Yes, sir. Hannah, I'm 23 years old. Satan.
Yeah.
Tell folks to gush out them lights so we have it nice and dark.
Yeah.
That's it. Draw up the fire and gaze into embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll be upon a ship that's bound for Africa. Africa, a strange thing. Aboard that ship begins our yarn about a man who studies insects, our yarn of the entomologist. The entomologist.
Roy, I've never known you to acquire such a sudden dislike for anyone before. Yet only a few days ago, when you learned Dr. Sternoff was on this boat, you were hardly waiting for you were suggested.
I know. He's probably the greatest entomologist in the world. It's an honor for a mere journeyman bug hunter like myself to have him even say good morning when he passes. But, Edith, the man gives me the shivers. That body of his that seems all arms and legs and the black whiskers, he reminds me of some tremendous spider.
Maybe that's what happens to men who study insects. They grow to look like them. My goodness, Roy. When you reach his age, you may resemble a... What is the bug you specialize on?
My future's safe. I go in for butterflies.
Then how attractive you'll be at 50. If a little flighty. Oh, but seriously, I think your prejudice concerning Dr. Sternoff is absurd. I rather like him.
You show it.
Why shouldn't I? His offer to escort me to Rogers Plantation from Cape Town places me rather deeply in his debt.
You cabled your brother not to meet you, that you were going to make the trip with Dr. Sternoff?
Yes. It'll save Roger a difficult journey from what he's written me of the traveling facilities in his part of Africa. And as Dr. Sternoff's own headquarters is so close to the plantation, it becomes a natural neighborly arrangement.
Edith, will you let me take you to your brother's place when we reach Cape Town?
Why, boy, you're going to Natal's head. Roger is in the Maryland.
Oh, I can study insect life there as well as in Natal, and... I'd like to meet your brother, and, you know the real reason.
Oh.
The same reason that I followed you aboard this boat, that I followed you everywhere during the last 2 years. I'm mad about you, Edith. Turned me down so many times, I'm not going to ask you to marry me again now, but I'm not going to let you go traipsing around Africa with anyone like Sternoff.
Oh, are you jealous of a man twice your age?
No, I'm not, but I don't like the way he looks at you. I'm not going to have you alone with him. I'm going to take you to Damaraland myself.
Oh, Roy. Eventually, I suppose I'll have to marry you. The parent, I can't lose you.
You only would marry me, but I'm not going to ask you again. It seems so useless.
You never tried asking me under such romantic conditions as this. Sorry, Knight. The deck of the ship, wild waves singing. Clear on the surroundings are ideal.
Stop making fun of me.
Well, if you won't propose, I can't make you.
I'm tired of hearing you say no.
I'm tired of saying no.
Huh? Edith. Will you marry me?
Yes.
What?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Edith, you really mean it.
I do.
Edith.
But I'll change my mind and let you quit staring and kiss me within the next half second.
Oh, Edith. Oh, darling. Oh, sweetheart.
Good evening.
Stop it.
It seems that I intrude at an unwelcome moment. Excuse me.
Oh, wait, Doctor. For the sake of retaining your good opinion, let me explain that I don't make it a habit to let men kiss me unless my hair.
Dr. Sternoff, Miss Gardner has just honored me by promising
to... Don't be tilted, Roy. I've just decided, Doctor, that Mr. Bolton will make me a fairly good husband. So we've just become engaged.
Mr. Bolton is to be congratulated. I envy him greatly.
Thank you.
Now, since you have Dr. Sternoff to talk to, I'm going to leave you, Roy, and go to bed.
Oh, Edith.
I'm tired. With the prospect of matrimony staring her in the face, a girl needs solitude and rest.
Well, I'll take you to your stateroom.
No, I want to be rid of you now. See you in the morning. Good night.
Good night, Miss Gardner.
Good night, Edith.
A very fine girl, your fiancée.
Very. I think I'll go to my cabin, too. Good night, Doctor.
Do not hurry away, Mr. Bolton. Suppose we talk a while. When do you and Miss Gardner plan to be married?
We haven't discussed that yet.
You will take time, I hope. Affairs of such importance should not be rushed into. Perhaps you will wait until after you conclude your studies in Natal.
I've decided not to go to Natal. I'm taking Miss Gardner to her brother's.
That is a pleasure I had looked forward to.
Since we shall all be going to the same part of the country, I suppose there's no reason why we shouldn't all take the trip together.
No, except that I had counted on Miss Gardner's company alone.
Sorry to have disarranged your plans.
It is unfortunate that you have. I do not like my plans disarranged.
I don't like your tone, Doctor. Just what do you mean?
Suppose I hear your views on my probable meaning.
All right, I'll give them to you. If you think I haven't noticed the way you followed Miss Gardner around ever since we came aboard this ship, you're crazy. And I don't like the way you keep looking at her. As though she were some specimen you were tracking down. I don't like anything about you, Doctor, since you've asked for it. And I want you to keep away from my future wife.
You are so candid, I shall be equally so. I enjoy the society of your future wife. And as the future is such an unknown quantity, I do not intend to keep away. Also, as an entomologist yourself, you must have heard that I seldom track down a specimen in vain.
Why, you think...
I think your engagement to Miss Gardner is a mistake. One that may be rectified before marriage. Before you leave the ship. Good night, Mr. Bolton.
I wish I could have heard such a ridiculous quarrel. You must have sounded like small boys with chips on your shoulders.
Well, that's the reason I never told you about it until tonight. It was so utterly ridiculous. But it confirmed my suspicion that Sternoff is nearly as mad about you as I am.
Well, you don't know how flattered I feel. Two mad lovers on one small ship.
I don't believe you feel flattered at all. There's something too inhuman about that man for you to really want his attention. All you enjoy is my jealousy.
He's very strange. A little insane, I think. You know, he's literally obsessed with a desire for power. Rather peculiar in a naturalist who's devoted his life to the study of tiny insects.
Those tiny insects, if uncontrolled by man and not destroyed by their own warring proclivities, could annihilate all other living creatures. They are power, undirected.
He made a remark, something like that. Said that someday a genius would develop a new species that would enable him to rule the world.
By genius, he meant himself, of course.
Oh, boy. He's still so ridiculously bitter toward the poor man. You say he threatened you that night?
Oh, he didn't threaten exactly. Simply said our engagement was a mistake that might be rectified before I left the ship.
Rectified by what?
By his personal magnetism, maybe. By proving to you that his charm so outshone mine that... you'd give me back the ring I haven't bought you yet and take his instead.
Well, if that was his purpose, he's evidently forgotten it. I've scarcely seen him since that night. And tomorrow we land at Cape Town. Which reminds me, they're packing Sylvia.
Oh, don't go in yet.
Oh, I must. There's so many things to get together. And I'm sleepy anyway.
I'll take you to your door, then. Let's get married in Cape Town tomorrow, dear.
Oh, now, don't start rushing me again. Roger's the only relative I possess, and I'm not going to marry you without his brotherly blessing. Here we are. Good night, dear. Roy, I'll let me go before someone comes around the corner.
Good night, Kate.
You look so romantically sad at our parting here one more day. That's all. Good night.
Good night.
Good evening, Mr. Bolt.
Huh? Oh.
I seem to come upon you always at the conclusion of a romantic moment.
You seem always to be watching for such moments, Dr. Sternoff.
On the contrary, they're very painful to me. I would prefer not to witness them. But let us not quarrel again. Our ship lands tomorrow. Let us simply say goodbye.
There'll be time for that when we dock in the morning.
One never knows in the rush of departure. We may not meet.
When Miss Gardner and I reach her brother's place, we'll be neighbors. Farewell seemed rather superfluous, Doctor.
I live but 10 miles from Miss Gardner's brother. You. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Bolton. Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Vernon. Here to be a sideman.
Hello, Stuart. Yes, going to bed.
Just saw you talking to the gentleman with the whiskers. Something important you wanted to see you for, I fancy. Been hanging around this corridor all evening.
Waiting for me?
We didn't try, but as he belongs over in Section A, I imagine he was waiting for someone, and he went away after talking to you.
He wasn't hanging around Miss Gardner's door, was he?
Oh, no, sir. He wasn't hanging around any place special. Just up and down the hall, yeah. Wasn't he waiting for you, sir?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, sir. Well, here we are at your door. Good night, sir.
Good night, Stuart. Oh, wait. We'll be parting tomorrow. I may as well have your tip off my mind now. Here. Thank you for your very excellent service.
Oh, thank you, sir. Here, don't bother looking for your keys. I'll unlock your door, sir.
Thanks.
Here now, just a minute. Here. And now I'll turn on the light. Well, it's a good thing I came in. The light switched on well.
It's all right when I left this evening.
Probably a fuse down half. You just wait outside, now. I'll let it take direction. Oh, the door's there, sir.
I'll open it, Stuart.
Yes, please, sir. I'll close the shadows on it.
The spring latch is snapped. Where till I find my key? Here. Stuart, my key doesn't work.
It don't?
Oh, that's funny.
Well, just don't bother, sir. I hope it's a big fire yet. There is one. I can't turn the
bed. What's happened to this lock? Worked all right when you opened it a moment ago.
I'll soon find out this. Maybe I can watch this man. There. Oh!
Stuart! Stuart!
George, what's wrong? George! Help!
Help me, someone! What is it?
What is it? What's happening?
Oh, no. Stuart, lock inside my
cabin.
He just screamed. Here, help me break down this door.
Here,
I will.
Just
here. Together with our shoulders. Now! Now, get in.
George! George, where are you?
Here's one. Here he is. On the floor.
Oh.
His
throat
has been torn open.
Oh.
He's dead.
Dead?
Oh. What killed him? There's nothing. There's no one in this room.
What do you think killed the steward, Satan?
That's right.
But then Miss didn't understand what Satan said. We'll have to come see us next time I have a birthday. And then we'll spin you the rest of our yarn about the entomologist. The entomologist.
Thank you.
written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. Let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah, I'm 9 years old, I be today. Yes, sir. Hannah, I'm 9 years old. Now douse off them lights and we go on with that perfect story we begun last time you was here. Why be leave off, Satan? Oh, yes, yes. We told how them two scientists who studied insects were both in love with the same girl, and how she naturally preferred the youngest and best looking, which made the other fella kind of mad. Well, sir, they was all aboard a ship bound for Africa. And on the night before they landed, a steward on the boat went into the young fella's cabin just ahead of him. And was very mysteriously ill. Now draw up to the fire and gaze into embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon we'll be in an African jungle. For that's why we picked up our story now. And soon you'll hear more about the entomologist. The entomologist!
Question in my mind, Roger, that whatever killed the steward in my cabin was intended to kill me. The door that made him prisoner didn't slam by chance. A spring had been attached to it. A lock had been tampered with. If he hadn't gone in there ahead of me by the sheerest accident...
But what killed the steward?
No one knows. That's Dr. Sternoff, I think. But he was with the captain at the time it happened, so had a perfect alibi.
You say there was no way for anyone to get out of the cabin except through the single door?
No, and nothing came out that way. One of the portholes was open, but no man or animal could have escaped through it. Unless they could scale smooth horizontal walls like a slide, they'd have had to drop into the sea.
The steward's throat was torn.
No, it wasn't torn, exactly. It was as though something had bitten him there. Something poisonous, or killed instantly. And the wound was frightfully inflamed. Yet if the bite was made by an animal, it was one of an entirely unknown species.
I've seen two such wounds as you described.
You have?
Yes. I didn't want to talk any more about this before either. That's why I suggest we walk out of here in the bush tonight. He's upset enough about the whole thing as it is.
He refuses to believe that Dr. Sternoff had anything to do with it. I should have made this trip up here with his party if I hadn't absolutely insisted we come by ourselves.
I don't share my sister's trust of Sternoff.
You say you've seen two similar wounds to that which killed the steward.
Yes, on black boys in the vicinity of Sternoff's place. Only whatever bit them was not frightened away as easily and as soon as your steward's case. But when found, every drop of blood had been drained from their dead bodies.
What on earth?
The natives ascribed the death to vampires.
That's particular.
Nothing is ridiculous in Africa. The blacks say Sternoff set the vampires on the men. They call him the devil doctor around here.
I'll be glad for me to try and marry tomorrow and on our way to Natal. I don't want her even in the same province with that man.
I'll hate to see you go so soon after your arrival here, but, well, I'll feel a little easier myself. Well, here we are back at the house.
Lights are all out. Edith must have gone to bed.
We've been talking back there in the bush a long time. It's late, but someone's still up around the place. There's my houseboy.
Effendi!
He must have something on his mind to make him run like that.
Effendi! Garner! You are well of your sickness?
Sickness?
Yes.
Yeah, you sat back before your lady sister find you.
What are you talking about? Where is my sister?
Gardner isn't here.
No, then come say a Pendicana sick hurt in bush. She go look see.
How long ago?
Half hour, maybe.
Roger, where do you suppose? Who was the man who came here for my sister?
Black boy come from Devil Doctor house.
Stanoff! Come to the house and get our guns, and we'll find out what this is all about.
He's laid his filthy hands on Edith.
Take your shirt on. He wouldn't dare do anything to her. What? But the door's locked. My sister locked it in the booth.
I know, see.
So never mind. Burst it open. Let me get a gun and start for...
There it goes.
Strike a light, Nebu.
Never mind. I can find the guns in the dark.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Something brushed across my face. Felt like a sticky silken cord.
There's something in this room, Appendix. Something moving.
Yes, I hear it.
Get those guns. It's an animal of some kind.
I have my rifle. A light, Nebu. A light. Yes,
me too.
God, look! Shoot! Shoot! Hurry! It's running away!
God, I got it this time.
God, look at it. That's what got the steward. And your blacks here. It was put in this house tonight to kill us.
But no such monster can exist. It's impossible.
It did exist. There's its dead body. A giant spider, 2 feet long.
Turnoff's house lies right back of that high fence.
You don't think any of those spiders are loose out here?
I hope not. God, where did such a monster come from?
I think Turnoff made it.
Made it?
Yes. The man is a scientific genius. I believe he's found a way to increase the size of a small, ordinary spider. I remember a paper he published some years ago hinting at the possibility of such a thing. That cord was thrust across my face with the strand of its web.
You hadn't felt that?
We just stumbled right into it. Then...
Don't speak of it.
Now I know why the black found dead here. It's been drained of blood. The esophagus of a spider is too small to assimilate solid food. So he sucks the juices of his prey.
I'd rather believe the native vampire theory.
More pleasant than that. Think. Burnoff, the monster who turned loose such things as Edith in that house.
You'll find her safe. He only wants to be rid of us.
He's in love with her.
The gate's unlocked. Quiet now. He thinks we're dead. We'll get him unaware.
He should get the drop on us before. Mm-hmm.
But if he does, Nebu has reached Sumed by this time, and he's on his way here now to the constabulary.
Sure you can trust Nebu?
Absolutely, where harm is promised Dr. Sternoff. One of the blacks that spider killed was Nebu's brother.
Come on, hurry. I want to get my hands on Sternoff.
He won't escape. He hasn't got a chance.
What?
Let go! I have their gun. Find their arms.
Let me go!
It's useless to struggle, gentlemen. My black boys were selected for their strength.
They are bound to send me.
You see, gentlemen, it is you who have no chance.
You're not going to get away with this.
I must contradict you. You have been very lucky twice, Mr. Bolton, but no luck holds good forever.
Look here, Sternoff. You'd better turn my sister over to us and let us go while you have the opportunity to save your life. In half an hour, the Sumed constabulary will be here. They'll tear you to pieces if you harmed us.
I anticipate no trouble from Sumed. You see, I have here another prisoner beside yourself and Edith.
Nebu!
Nebu!
There's Nebu on his head, Effendi.
Lord!
My boys brought the faithful servant down almost directly he left your house. Now, Mr. Bolton, I intend to prove that your engagement to Miss Gardner was a mistake. A mistake that shall be rectified tonight forever. Take these white men to my laboratory.
Yes,
as a student of insect life, Mr. Bolton, you will appreciate the specimens I am about to show you, whom you will meet intimately.
Oh, that's God.
Spiders, gentlemen. Giant spiders. Monster insects that will make me master of the world. Look at them in their cages behind these bars. Spiders. I made them giants. Look at them scary, eight-legged monsters whose poison pulses will kill an elephant. Harmless in their cages now, but soon they'll be swarming about you in this room.
You can't.
You won't.
But I can. I shall. This lever here opens every cage at once. I shall press it just as I myself go out this door to safety. Alvo! Marty! Cut the ropes which bind the white man's hands.
Yes, Effendi.
I wish your body free. Through the glass panel of this door, it will be a better show to see you try to fight my baby.
What a rotten beast you are.
And he has Edith in this filthy house.
Edith is upstairs, quite safe and ignorant of your presence here. She will be ignorant of how you die. She is very fortunate to be chosen for my mate. As I shall be the master, She will be mistress of the world which I will rule by giant insects who are power.
You're mad. Even a madman can't go through with it.
It's useless, boy. We haven't got a chance. Turnus, if you have a single strain of decency in your carcass before you turn those things upon us, give us a drink.
A drink?
Yes, whiskey. God, we've got to have something to nerve us before you open those cages.
Oh, don't ask that swine for anything, Roger. Let him pull his lever and get it over.
No. I can't bear to think of those spiders coming at us. I'll go crazy, Sternoff. So I won't know what's happening. I'll teach you out of your show. Whiskey, Sternoff, whiskey. The least you can do is grant me that.
The brother of my future mate is a streak of yellow. Bring them whiskey.
Yes, it is. Not from me. I want nothing from you.
Whiskey for me. Whiskey, for God's sake.
Give it to him.
Here,
Ascending. Thanks.
Get out, you black, so you won't see a white man whine.
We go, Ascending.
This boy, Nibu. Last we had him secure outside.
Nibu cannot get away, Ascending.
Get out, both of you.
White man now on bound. Maybe danger you, Ascending.
I have a pistol in my hand, haven't I? If I am the nerve to try anything, get out and close that door.
Yes, Ascending.
I'm impatient. My shoulders dark. Drink your whiskey, you yellow dog.
Yes, a drink. Whiskey.
For you, Sterner.
No,
I just wanted to drink,
but
I saw it in your eyes.
Oh, it's right. I
can't
see it.
Grab it,
Mr.
Roy.
I've already got it.
Roger, he stumbled against that lever. The cages are opening.
Quick, out that door.
No, you will not.
He's locked it. Open that door, son of you fool. Those spiders will kill you as well as us.
No, I'm their master, their creator.
Get the teeth on him, Roy.
No.
Cronin, among those spiders.
They're coming from their cages. Coming from all sides.
Come, my babies, with your poison hands.
Boy, smash that glass panel in the door.
Yeah.
Quick, they're almost out of
it. I have it.
Wait.
There's
Nebo outside.
Nebo,
he's free. Nebo, open this door.
No. You cannot get away.
Oh, Roger.
Edith.
Nebo found you. Set me free.
Nebo, you were a prisoner, too. How did you?
Careful, Dr. Man. You touched Nebo well. I have hit a knife. They're dead.
Come away, quick.
No.
Spiders!
My baby, don't let them get away!
Run, outside the top. The spiders are everywhere.
Get them, my babies, get them!
No! Not these!
Spiders have to turn up!
Keep away! I made you! I am your master! Keep away! Quick!
They're having it!
They're
don't look back, Edith! Run!
Oh, Roger, what are you stopping for?
What set this lamp? There!
He set the place on fire!
That's the only weapon that will stop those things!
It's catching everywhere!
Outside, at last.
Good fire. Eat evil spirits. Eat devil, doctor.
Oh, those spiders. Oh, please, doctor. Kill every
Satan and me's just bitten that if you ever goes to Africa after hearing this Percy yarn, he'll take along a can of insect powder.